Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I'm here in the studio with our guest, John Wright. He's the new senior editor of the Dallas Voice. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Before we get going, it is still pledge drive, and we do need our listeners to give us a call. The number is 972-647-1893. Polka Doc is standing by, ready to take phone calls and help us this week. Last week wasn't a great pledge drive week. This week we need to do better. 972-647-1893. One of the events that KNON is sponsoring is Dash for the Beads, which is the third annual Mardi Gras event over in Oak Cliff. It takes place in the Bishop Arts District. If you're going to do Dash for the Beads, you can register for Dash for the Beads as well as support KNON, support Morning Talk by calling us at 972-647-1893. The pledge amount would be $50. What Dash for the Beads is, it's a run, it's a 5K costumed run and festival for people and animals of all ages. This event takes place in Bishop Arts in Oak Cliff. It's going to be Saturday. The registration time is 7 to 9 a.m. and the run is at 9 a.m. When you call us and make your pledge and then show up at Bishop Arts, us you need to pay with a credit card so that we know it's paid ahead of time. You'll need just some ID just to show that that's you. Go up to the registration desk, tell them that you paid by making a pledge on KNON, and you're all registered. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. We have lots of other great pledge items to give. Some of the other items are the KNON Mardi Gras t-shirts, Mardi Gras beads, Mardi Gras shot glasses, or the Mardi Gras party pack. Any of those other items, it's a $50 pledge that gets you the t-shirt or gets you the beads or gets you the shot glasses. But if you want a t-shirt, three beads, two shot glasses, and a bonus of two Mardi Gras feather masks with purple, green, and yellow feathers, and the masks are only available in the party pack, the entire party pack, pledge goes for $150. I said party pack pledge this time, right? I know I couldn't say it at all on Sunday. So give us a call. We have lots of other gifts to offer. Morning, John.
Morning.
Okay, news. We'll get to in a minute. You're the new editor of Dallas Voice.
I am.
And tell us about that. How long have you been with Dallas Voice?
I've been with Dallas Voice since March of 2007. So my 5-year anniversary is
coming up.
Rapidly approaching.
It is rapidly approaching. You're rapidly aging with the Dallas Voice.
Yes. Hard to believe. It seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Time flies.
Uh-huh. What are we looking for in the Dallas Voice? What are we? What's going to be new?
Well, you know, I was going to mention real quick that we do need the LGBT community to turn out to Dash for the Beads because we'll have a photographer there.
Well,
so, taking photos.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we certainly wouldn't mind having some guys with their shirts off, you know.
Nine a.m. Saturday morning. I'm really expecting, like last year, it'll be in the 30s and the wind will be blowing.
It's in like the 60s today. So what? Who knows with the weather?
Yeah, not at 9 a.m. But right. Come out, see Dallas Voice. It's a very gay event.
Yeah.
The chair people of Dash for the Beads are gay. Half of the people who show up are very, very gay event. It's a lot of fun.
It's just not as, it's not as in-your-face gay as, like, Pride or something like that.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. It's a very family-friendly event. Last year, the sponsors were Gay Bingo and one of the Catholic churches. I mean, it was a whole mishmash of who participated.
Right.
But
you're not supposed to use that word, though, family-friendly, because that's reminiscent of Easter in the Park last year.
I know, except this really is family-friendly. This is what I call family-friendly. There was a whole elementary school class there that was there last year that was participating in the run. And because it's, you know, in Bishop Arts, but then you run out into Davis, and it's on the streets, the run. the gay guys were so overprotective of all these kids that were there, and making sure that they were safe, and making sure that this really was a really well-run event. When I say family-friendly, I mean neighborhood-friendly.
All types of families.
All types of families. That's absolutely...
And especially our family.
Yes, and all families, but this really is what family-friendly is. Last year, what was the
Easter? It's the very definition of family-friendly.
What happened with Easter in the Park last year?
Well, they were going to start another event because I guess they felt like Easter in the Park had become too too much of a party atmosphere. They wanted more of a picnic type of thing. You tell me. You're the one who covered it.
We covered it together. I think last year what it was they wanted something that was going to be for non-gay families is what the code words.
That's how the LGBT community definitely perceived it. Yeah. Is the straight folks from uptown wanted to start another event that was not
separate,
as gay.
Yeah, that was not as gay, not as. Yeah. What happened was that event fell apart, and the gay community came in and picked up the pieces of Easter in the Park, which was not previously a gay event.
Right.
Now it is. They really didn't get what they wanted because...
Let that be a lesson to straight people everywhere. You cannot throw a party without us.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't happen.
But that's what Oak Cliff seems to understand. They incorporated the gay community in Dash for the Beads. They incorporated the gay community in the Mardi Gras parade, which is actually this Sunday. They incorporated the gay community to be part of it and help run it and help sponsor it and help do everything with it and make it into a really family-friendly event where everybody's families are invited to it and welcome in it. I know last year when I spoke to one of the organizers who is straight, and I mentioned how funny it was that, you know, Hunkies is one of the sponsors and also, you know, some very traditional, like, I think the Knights of Columbus was one of the sponsors also. She said, Oh, yeah, well, that's just how we do things here in Oak Cliff. And she was right. You know, it just went over her head that there was even any conflict there. To her, there wasn't. To her, it was just a matter of, that's the way we do things here.
And I can go the whole hour with avoiding talking about Dal's voice. So,
and I think you're going to. It is Pledge Drive. I want to ask everybody who's listening and is a regular listener, or if you're just tuning in for the first time, give us a call and support community radio. KNON has supported the LGBT community for 28 years, and coming up on 29 years, we were one of the original shows on this station. And the way to keep this show on the station is by pledging and giving us a call. The number is 972-647-1893. We have a number of pledge items. The KNON Mardi Gras Gumbo Party is coming up on Sunday, February 19th. Is that this week? That is this week. The doors open at 5 o'clock. We're serving from 5 to 7 p.m. at Poor David's Pub, which is at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. It's going to feature gumbo from Fish City Grill, the Alligator Cafe, Offshores Next Door, Louisiana Red, and Crawdads of Dallas. There'll be live music from Lil Jimmy and the Feedback Band. Live music starts at 7:15 and goes on till 10 p.m. You can get two tickets. That includes food, that includes the music, includes the whole evening of entertainment. You can get two tickets for a $50 pledge, and you can get a T-shirt along with that for a $75 pledge. Just give us a call, 972-647-1893. Another thing that you can do to really support, really, really support us, and we got one of these last time, we haven't gotten one this time, is you can become a KNON Elite Music Sponsor. You can get a pair of tickets to every KNON event for the next year from this pledge drive through February of 2013. And KNON averages we average 40 shows a year. We had the Red Elvises this year. The annual KNON Blues Fest just happened, but you can go to the one next year. Rosie Ledette, the Mardi Gras Gumbo Party, a little bit of everything that we have. We had the polka dance. We had we have a dinner coming up that's going to support What am I? Morning talk. I know what I am. And most of the KNON events do have catered food. Now, for a $500 pledge, that works out to $12.50 per ticket. It's $12 a ticket. You can become a KNON Elite Music sponsor. It's a $500 pledge. That'll get you and a guest into every event that KNON does for the next year. The number 972-647-1893. We also have a pledge contest, the pledge referral contest. Whoever refers the most new pledges during the fall pledge drive will win a $500 gift certificate from Fry's Electronics. Get as many first-time pledges as you can to make a pledge, and to pay the pledge to KNON. It has to be a minimum $40. All we need you to do is collect names and phone numbers, and we will do the rest. We'll give them a call. We'll get their credit cards, or we'll give them the address to send in their check. And you have till the end of April to do this, so turn in your pledge form, your list of referrals before then, and you could win a $500 gift certificate from Fry's Electronics. The number is 972-647-1893. Give us a call and help us support Morning Talk on KNON, because KNON has supported us. And, you know, when you're supporting KNON, what you're doing is you're just paying for the basics. You're paying for the phone bill, the electric bill, the tower rental, and absolutely nothing else here. No big salaries, nothing like that, like you're paying for at the other stations that ask you to make a pledge. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. Our guest today is John Wright, and John is the new senior editor of Dallas Voice. John, this week was a big day, a big week in marriage history, in the progression towards marriage. Let me just go over what happened this week. In Washington State last week, they passed marriage equality, and the governor signed that into law. In New Jersey, the Senate passed a marriage equality bill. It goes on to the assembly, and there were hearings on marriage equality in Delaware. That seems like a big week.
Yeah.
Because right now there are seven states, Washington being the seventh, that has marriage equality, plus District of Columbia. So all of the Washingtons have marriage equality. With Washington, it doesn't go into effect yet.
Right. The earliest it could go into effect, I think, is June 5th. If they don't get enough signatures for a referendum.
So right.
More than likely it'll be on the November ballot.
They have two ways they can put it on the November ballot. One of them creates a mess. One of them is just a referendum where they would rescind what the legislature did. And if that type of a referendum goes on the ballot, then marriage equality doesn't, or marriages don't happen till after the referendum happens.
Right.
The other type is it only needs half the number of signatures, so there's a good reason for them to do that one, but that would be to amend the Washington Constitution to forbid same-sex marriage. That one takes half the signatures, but marriage would go into effect June 5th.
Right.
That would create a mess like Proposition 8.
Yeah.
What happened with Proposition 8 last week? It got to another step. The court seemed to support getting rid of Proposition 8 and what it does, but wasn't really effective in getting much done other than getting it to the next court, I guess.
Yeah, my understanding is the decision striking down Prop 8 by the Federal Appeals Court was very, very narrowly written so that it applies only to California, and it applies only to cases where you've given somebody a right, as in given same-sex couples the right to marry and then taken it away. So it's very, they purposely crafted their opinion very narrowly so that the Supreme Court would be less likely to review it, because the feeling is that if the Supreme Court took up the issue right now, that they'd probably rule against us. Or there's a high risk that they would. So it was a, I guess the appeals court, the feeling among legal experts is the appeals court took as narrow a path possible to try to avoid the Supreme Court.
so that this would apply to California. And if the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court necessarily the next step?
Well, no, it could go to the full Ninth Circuit Court. It just depends on it's up to the supporters of Prop 8 whether they appeal it to the full court or to the Supreme Court. The full appeals court or the Supreme Court.
Have you seen, is there an advantage to doing one over the other for them or for us?
Yeah, I haven't looked at that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or heard anything about it, really. I think the expectation is that either way they'll eventually petition the Supreme Court. Whether the Supreme Court takes it is another question.
But the longer it takes, longer it'll be till California can possibly have same-sex marriage.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now, this applies actually to this Washington thing. If they get enough signatures to repeal, to put a repeal referendum on the ballot, that delays marriage in Washington until it would be voted down in November,
right,
if it is.
Right. And Washington, would be the first state where we've ever won a public vote, if we were able to win that. Yeah,
and the polls are showing we'd win it right now, narrowly, but would win it.
But isn't one of the interesting things about it is the degree to which it's going to play a role in the elections this year, because all these states discussing it and being on the ballot in at least Washington and North Carolina and Minnesota. So mm-hmm. it's definitely going to be an issue in the election.
If they put a constitutional amendment on the ballot to forbid same-sex marriage in the state, and that were to win, doesn't that set Washington up in the exact same way that California is set up? Because it would be a right that people would have from June until it was passed in November, if it passed, and then this California ruling actually could have some... It wouldn't apply to Washington because that's a different circuit, but that court could refer to this court in order to make their ruling to overturn, and then it would be a multi-year mess again.
Is it a different circuit? I don't know that. I thought Washington was in the Ninth Circuit.
Oh, are they in the Ninth Circuit?
Yeah.
Oh.
I honestly don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of hypotheticals. Well, the bottom line is Washington already had the equivalent of marriage, everything but marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with the same-sex marriage legal, even if the referendum fails and we uphold same-sex marriage in Washington, they don't get any of the federal rights. So, I mean, this stuff to me is, it's important, but it's ultimately water under the bridge to some extent.
Until DOMA's gotten rid of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Exactly.
We need to take a break, and we can't do that until I change all of the carts in these machines.
You mentioned that the pledges to KNON just support the bare bones mm-hmm. basics. Does that mean I'm not getting paid for this appearance?
It would mean that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see you later, and then I'll see you at the office
in
a couple
of
hours.
There. It is Pledge Drive, and we do need people to give us a call. The number 972-647-1893. If you're listening from home or listening from your car when you get to your office, you can go online. You can click the pledge button. When you get to the pledge page, you can go into the right-hand column. It gives you several choices of a $40 pledge, $50 pledge, $100 pledge. You can pledge that way online, get a pledge premium, and or just give the whole thing to KNON and not bother with the pledge premium. Some of our listeners have so many T-shirts that they don't need more T-shirts. But give us a call if you are someplace where you can call, 972-647-1893. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNUN presents Trevorfest Saturday, March 10th at the Sons of Herman Hall in Dallas. Trevorfest is a benefit for KNUN staff member Trevor Fought, who suffered a stroke on July 29. Trevor is working hard on his rehab, but needs some help from his friends right now, so KNUN is bringing together a stellar group of artists to help out our friend. Trevorfest stars Houston Marchman, Donnie Ray Ford, the KNUN Blues Band featuring Greg Smith, the Cowhide Coal Review, the Acoustic Soundhounds featuring Bitey D. James, the Cutlers, C.C. Cross, Stevie D., and Church with Trevor, a special sermon with Reverend Robinson, Katie Davis, and featuring the combined KNUN Gospel Choir. Doors open at 11 a.m., with Church with Trevor taking place at noon. Live bands start 2 p.m., and go and tell. More artists to be added. Trevorfest, an incredible day of great music in support of a great friend. Saturday, March 10th, at Sons of Herman Hall, 3414 Elm Street in Dallas. More information, KNUN.org, or 214-237-3003.
KNUN depends on listener support to stay on the air. Now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show your appreciation for great community radio, pick up the phone and call to make your pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. 972-647-1893.
Come on, Nisha.
The 11th annual KNUN Mardi Gras Gumbo Party will be held this Sunday, February 19th at Poor David's Pub, 1313 South Lamar. This year's gumbo gurus are Alligator Cafe, Crawl Dads of Dallas, Offshores, Next Door, Fish City Grill, and Louisiana Red, serving up gumbo from 5 to 7 p.m. Audience members will choose the best gumbo via the noise meter, and then dance off those calories with the Zydeco and R&B music of Little Jimmy and the Feedback Band. Your host will be Jim Bro and Zydeco Mike of Monday Zydeco Cajun Music Party. Advanced tickets are available at KNUN.org, Fields Records, and Forever Young Records. This is not an event to be missed. Who will claim the title Best Gumbo this year? You decide at the 11th KNUN Mardi Gras Gumbo Party this Sunday, February 19th at Poor David's Pub. This is a KNUN benefit event.
Oh, back that thing up your shirt.
This is a random person, and I don't listen to Lambda Weaven on 89.3 KNON FM Dallas.
And this is Lambda Weekly on KNON. It is Pledge Drive. Doc is answering the phones today, but the phones are not ringing right now. So, Doc, what are some of the pledge premiums we have?
Oh, excellently. I have a Olden Concert style chair with a carrying case for a $100 pledge. You can get two for $150. It'd be great for when you're watching those runners at the Run for the Beads. I also have some delicious coffee. KNUN coffee, full city roast, 8-ounce bag for $30, two for $50. But you can also get yourself an Aztec Flair coffee cup, 10-ounce mug with KNUN Voice of the People design on it. It's contoured in the middle, flared at the base and top. And for $50, add a bag of coffee. You can get it for $75. It's coffee and your cup at the same time.
And we're going out to pick those beans ourselves right after the show.
Oh, again?
Again. I'm sorry.
Well, if you're having
we're giving away a lot of coffee.
If you're having a tailgate party for that Run for the Beans, I have a black barbecue apron with the KNUN Skyline on the front for only $40. And you can reverse it and get the other side dirty, too.
Yeah, Jennifer. Jennifer, my co-host on Sundays, we're talking about that apron, and she said, yeah, and you know, you can it'll last twice as long if you turn it over. And we said, yes, Jennifer, or you could just wash it when it gets dirty. She doesn't think that way.
She doesn't think that way. I got a black backpack. I've got the same problem you got. Black backpack on a KNUN logo for $50 pledge. I know you carry yours to a KNUN studio.
I carry my black backpack all the time.
Oh, wow.
See, that one I can say. It's that other one that I can't say.
The party pledge. The party pack. It should be on top. I didn't take that sheet.
Oh, you didn't take that sheet?
It should be right on top.
It isn't on top. I have Elite Music Sponsor. I have the Gumbo Party. I have Bank Drafts. I have Matching Gifts. And that is one thing. If your employer matches pledges, make your donation to KNON, and then many companies do match their employees' charitable donations. So go to your company's human resources office. Tell them who it is that you've pledged to, because we had one last year that the company matches pledges, but not to public radio of any sort. But they do match to other types of things. So go to your human resources office and find out if they do make a matching donation. Get the paperwork from the HR office and send it in with your pledge. When they match contributions, your pledge is doubled, and it really does help us reach our goal. And some companies, you just need to tell us who it is, and we need to contact your HR office. So whatever we need to do, we're happy to do that. Just let us know.
Another way of painlessly pledge is a bank draft. $10 a month will add up and will give us a constant incoming. You will get your pledge premium at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of pledge premiums for Mardi Gras. One of them is the party pack.
Party pack.
The Mardi Gras party pack, which includes a Mardi Gras T-shirt, 3 beads, 2 shot glasses, and 2 Mardi Gras feather masks with purple, green, and yellow feathers.
That's only with the party
just
pack.
Delightful. $450. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. Our guest today. No, they're not. 972-647-1893. Our guest today is John Wright, who's the new senior editor of the Dallas Voice. John, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and a group went down to downtown Dallas to the county clerk's office, tried to apply for marriage licenses, did the same thing in Tarrant County yesterday afternoon. Yesterday morning also in Austin, several people tried to apply for marriage licenses. What happened?
They were denied. Shocking.
It is shocking. It is shocking. But you spoke to John Warren the day before.
Yeah, I talked to the Dallas County clerk on Monday, and I knew what he was going to say, but I figured I'd call him anyhow. And
just get his comment on it.
You know, it's the same thing he said, I think, for the last 3 or 4 years, in which they've done the same thing, which is that, I'm not going to risk my job over it.
Mm-hmm.
He does interestingly add, though, that he personally opposes same-sex marriage, which, you know, he's kind of volunteering that information. But anyhow, the point is, if he were to issue a same-sex marriage license, then he could be removed from office. He does say that he supports civil unions, and he's a local Democrat, obviously, who's been endorsed repeatedly by Stonewall Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also good friends with Gary Fitzsimmons, who's the openly gay district clerk. And he always comes down and personally greets the protesters and is very diplomatic about it. But he does, you know, he does add that caveat that his religion dictates that he actually opposes same-sex marriage.
Okay.
But he says if same-sex marriage were legalized by the state of Texas, that he would issue licenses, and he would not risk his job for the opposite reason either.
Right. So as far as he's concerned, he's doing what his job tells him to do.
Right.
If it was legal, he'd issue. If it's not legal, he's not issuing. And no, for the sake of the job, he's just doing his job. But he's not a big supporter of same-sex marriage either, personally. Daniel Cates, who was one of the people who went down to speak to him yesterday, said to him when he said, you know, I don't support same-sex marriage because of my religion, Daniel Cates has brushed him off. He said, I don't need your support for religious marriage. I could get a religious marriage now. I could go to a dozen different churches in this city, and they'll give me my religious marriage. I'm not asking you for that. I'm asking you for the equal rights that come with civil marriage, and you were elected to do a civil marriage, and that's all I want you to do. Big difference between the religious marriage, which you can get. My religion allows it. I could go to my synagogue, and my synagogue will certainly perform a marriage that would be the exact same marriage that they would do for any couple. But I can't go to City Hall and get the civil marriage with the equal rights that come along with it. What are some of those rights that we're talking about for, you know, some of our listeners who who aren't aware of what those rights are and that you're not getting with a civil union in civil union states. You know, and you mentioned it with DOMA. What are we talking about?
Well, it's like there are, I think, over 1,200 federal rights, marriage rights. I couldn't even...
I mean, categories are like in taxes and in pensions and Social Security, all that kind of stuff that you don't get that has nothing to do with religion.
That's right.
It has everything to do with...
Right. And it, I mean, but the, my question is, does John Warren really not know that? Does Mike Rawlings really not know that? There's this whole... It seems like lately people are, you know, really harping on this civil marriage versus religious marriage issue. I'm like, these people are well aware that we're not asking for the, you know, that we're not trying to force their churches to marry us. Are they not? I mean, is there really a misunderstanding? Are they really that clueless?
John Warren seemed like he didn't understand that. Like, you know, I'm fine with civil unions. I'm fine with equal rights. But, you know, marriage is what my church does.
Right.
But he's the one who issues the marriage license.
Right. And it's interesting, in Travis County, down in Austin yesterday, there's some folks who were arrested during Valentine's Day. Same type of demonstration. And the clerk there was even, I think, probably more supportive, but still didn't issue the licenses. And she actually asked the protesters whether, do you want me to call the police now or do you want me to wait till the office closes? We can do it either way. So she was, I mean, she was clearly very supportive of their right to marry, however, did not want to risk her job by issuing a license, which we haven't really had someone do that in a long time. Was Gavin Newsom he's sort of the famous example of defying state law to issue a marriage license. Have we really had a public official do that since then? Say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put my job on the line and make a stand.
I can't think of another one who's actually risked his or her job over the issue.
We've had the opposite in, like, New York. We had clerks getting removed because they refused to issue licenses after marriage was legalized.
Right. We had a number of them, and a couple of them, I think, were removed from office. In one or two cases, a compromise was made. But I think basically in New York, the attitude was, this is your job, and we changed the law, and you'll issue this license. You don't have to be pro-hunting in order to issue hunting licenses also. It's just one of those things that you do issue. So one of the licenses you issue are marriage licenses, and same-sex marriages are legal in New York now, so you'll issue these. You can have the exact same moral objection to hunting, but if you're taking the job where it is your job to issue those licenses, either don't run for that office or just issue the licenses without any kind of judgment, seems right to me. Okay, so somebody like John Warren, I want to get into this idea. There was a controversy last week with a radio host from another station who said she doesn't support same-sex marriage, but she has generally been a big supporter of the gay community. I don't know, big supporter, but she's been a supporter. She considers herself an ally anyway. And then she was attacked when she said on the air that she doesn't support same-sex marriage. She was attacked viciously, and it was in the same tone, I think, that it was in the exact same tone that you would attack Jeffress from First Baptist Church, almost. It was that kind of tone. What do you think of something like that? You know, and as an editor of the newspaper, you moderate the comments in the paper. You you set the tone for what a news article is going to be, and it can be a tone that will encourage those kinds of comments. It can be a tone that would moderate those kinds of comments. What did you think of those comments, and what do we really expect from some of our allies?
Well, I think people were surprised by the fact that radio host came out against same-sex marriage because she has been appeared at community events and fundraisers. So the assumption is that she supports full equality. So it was kind of I think people were kind of taken off guard by her statement that she doesn't. And so their, you know, their knee-jerk reaction is to just vilify her mm-hmm. for that. I guess my thing is that if in fact she does not support us fully, then she probably shouldn't be hosting, be a celebrity guest host at fundraisers for community organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's number one.
It puts her in a funny position, doesn't it?
Right. It puts her in a funny position, but it also, from my standpoint as a LGBT person, I mean, I don't want to attend that type of event, and I don't want to give money to that cause if you're bringing in somebody who's
beliefs, halfway there.
Yeah, it's almost like counterproductive. You know, it's almost like she's working against us, and yet she's mm-hmm. trying to help us. And it's like having a humidifier and a dehumidifier in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the point is, for some people, is that our enemies, our staunchest enemies, like Pastor Jeffress at First Baptist, are unlikely to change their mind. I mean, we can protest them all we want.
I think the protesting of somebody like that just makes them stronger.
Right. It may even make them, yeah, it may even make them bigger enemies. But people like this radio host, who is a supporter to some extent, apparently, but not a supporter of full equality, are movable. And when people like John Warren are movable. And so we're better off. People like Mike Rawlings, the mayor of Dallas, are movable on this issue and on LGBT issues in general. And so therefore, we're better off focusing our energy on them than, you know, just wasting our time standing out in front of First Baptist with a sign that says gay is okay.
Do you think when that happened, that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that? It was when he first got here, maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago even.
It was 2008, because it was right around the same time as the Prop 8, the initial Prop 8 ruling.
Okay. Do you think with somebody like
initial passage of Prop 8, I should say.
Right, which I guess was...
November 2008.
2008 was the same time as the presidential election. With somebody like that, would the purpose of protesting be not to get to Jeffress? But there are members of that congregation who have gay and lesbian friends, relatives, and to say, look, he might be saying that, but... Or do you think that's kind of an inappropriate way to get to them? And by inappropriate, I mean they're coming out of church. They're not interested in what a protester has to say.
Well, I think there's some value. I mean, I guess the theory would be that there's some value to having positive LGBT images, especially for youth, to counter, you know, the negative image that he portrays. So, I mean, I guess there's some merit to the argument that when we protest Westboro Baptist, or, you know, counter-protest Westboro Baptist, that we're at least providing some sort of alternative image of the LGBT community for people to see. But, I mean, obviously we're not having an effect on Westboro Baptist people. I mean, they're not going to change their mind.
No, they're not going to change their mind at all. But with Westboro, I think it's more a matter of giving... the rest of the media something else to focus on rather than...
Right, a positive image, yeah.
Yeah.
A gay-affirming image as opposed to just a hateful one.
And with First Baptist, one of the things he said, which I wasn't even thinking, was there are a bunch of kids that are attending church services there, and a number of those kids are probably gay, lesbian, or maybe even just at a point where they're questioning. And to give them...
To let them know that they're, you know...
That they're not there, that they're not alone.
Not everybody thinks like Pastor Jeffress, you know.
We need to take a break. We're talking to John Wright. He's the senior editor of Dallas Voice. It is Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Thursday nights are back in Dallas with the all-new Thursday Night Clunk Spot Club Mr. Biggs. Energy Promotions is proud to present the One World Party at Club Mr. Biggs every single Thursday. DJ Steez and DJ Magnum in the mix, hosted by Eddie G and Alex Spada. Gay, straight, lesbian, bi, everyone.
all together, partying Thursday night at Club Mr. Biggs.
10333 Technology Boulevard, Gap. Doors open at 10 p.m., 18 and up admitted.
For details, 214-514-6596. Facebook keyword, Eddie G Promotions. Thursday night, Mr. Biggs. Keep it alive.
KNON thanks Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
This is Lewis from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly Podcast at LambdaWeekly.com.
And I'm Dave Taffet, and this is Lambda Weekly, and it is Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. We're trying to wrap up this Pledge Drive, but at this rate, it's going to go on for the full week.
I really don't know what's going on, but I need to have my phone ring a little bit more, just a couple more phone calls so we can get up to our pledge limit here. I have some, if you're going to run for those bees, you might need something to cover your head. So I have a black baseball cap with a white KNON 89.3 Skyline logo on it for a $40 pledge. How many slots do we have open left for that run for the bees?
We have three.
Three? All right. I need three more callers to pledge up for that run for the beads. I think it's a $50 pledge?
It is a $50 pledge, yeah. And that registers you for Run for the Beads, also supports KNON Morning Talk.
But if you don't want to be a runner, I do have a KNON folding concert chair with a carrying case for a $100 pledge. That would be good. And if you want to have your partner with you, how about two?
And you know what? This week or last week, everybody laughed at me because I got my KNON umbrella for a $75 pledge. I got my KNON umbrella. What did it do this week?
It rained.
It did. I used it.
It rains.
It's a real nice umbrella.
It's large.
Yeah.
You almost knocked me over with it leaving the studio last week.
Yes, I did. 972-647-1893. Doc is standing by waiting for your calls. Doc, you had somebody who called in.
Yes, we had, we had a caller. He said he was definitely anti-gay, but he does believe in equal rights and everything, including marriage for us. If we can get married, we need to have those rights.
And you know what? That's not anti-gay. That's just... That's just being fair.
That's right.
But that's kind of that's what we were talking about in this last segment. One of the things with marriage is, or with New Jersey, one of the reasons that New Jersey, and actually Washington also, one of the reasons that they're upgrading from civil unions in New Jersey and domestic partnerships in Washington is because even though those laws were meant to create equality, they really didn't. In New Jersey, for the first 1,000 people who registered a civil union, 500 of them filed something with a commission that New Jersey had created in order to make sure that that there was equality with their civil... over half. Of the first 1,000 people registered a complaint that said that their civil unions were not being recognized and they weren't getting something like insurance coverage or something like that that a married partner would get. And so New Jersey, in order to correct that, because the complaints are continuing, in order to correct that, what New Jersey's, they're upgrading to marriage.
That's great.
So for people who are saying, oh, yeah, yeah, well, we want civil unions, and that'll be... Well,
would the complaints stick out? Was there a major offender that would not have recognized the marriages over there?
Well, I mean, there's just a whole variety of different things. A whole variety of different things.
Wow.
Anyway, John, we were talking before the break about what do we expect from our allies. I would say from somebody like this who called, who said he's not an ally, but he does expect that everybody should have the same rights, I'm calling him an ally.
Right.
I mean, that's not somebody who's working against us. You don't have to love me. We're just talking about equality. To me, that's a perfectly good ally. You're talking, though, more about somebody who's representing themselves as a major ally of the gay and lesbian community and actually coming in and co-sponsoring or headlining events.
Right.
And you think that they should actually be more with us on all of the issues.
Yeah.
As those comments started coming in about her comments on the radio, they started getting tempered because the first batch of comments against her were just vicious. And after that, they kind of tempered down to, hey, we don't really need to treat somebody who is supporting our community. We don't need to treat her the way we're treating her.
Right.
What do you think we should do with somebody like that who really is trying to support the community? She has lots of gay friends. I mean, it's not like she's not one of these, hey, some of my best friends are, but she does have lots of gay friends. Do you think it's important for some of her friends to sit her down and show her?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and in the case of, like, going back to the issue of John Warren, since we're, mm-hmm. you know, we actually have a name mm-hmm. in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Fitzsimmons, the district clerk, the openly gay district clerk, for example, John Warren, when I asked him, would you support Gary Fitzsimmons and John Warren are good friends. They are running mates during election season. They've worked on a digital courts project together very closely. I mean, they're the clerks. Gary's the district clerk, and John is the county clerk. Good friends, both Democrats. Gary's gay. John does not support same-sex marriage. Well, there's a conversation to me that needs to happen. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, and that's the whole idea also of openly gay elected officials. I was just looking on my phone... and there's some breaking news out of Oklahoma, which is that Al McCaffrey has won a special election in the state Senate. So we now have an openly gay state senator in the state of Oklahoma in the form of Al McCaffrey. And, I mean, that's...
And his district, which is interesting, covers the district that Senate district covers the district that includes Sally Kern's district.
Right. But, I mean, the importance of having, and it's kind of sad, really, that Oklahoma has a state senator, openly gay state senator,
mm-hmm.
and Texas has not one single openly gay legislator. I mean, we have, 180 people in the legislature?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there are some of them are gay, or LGBT.
Well, according
just
to,
not out.
According to Glenn Maxey, yes, more than several.
Right. I mean, the percentages, just, I mean, there would be at least a handful,
mm-hmm.
Even with the most conservative percentages. So, I mean, it's just, it reinforces, but the situation, you know, with John Warren and Gary Fitzsimmons, I mean, to me, that's exactly why we need openly gay elected officials in office, so they can have those conversations and put a face on those issues. But
two other elected officials.
Two other elected officials.
Two other elected
absolutely.
Officials.
Absolutely. I mean, they say that no pro-gay state legislation, pro-equality state legislation, has ever passed without an openly gay legislator.
Hmm.
I thought it'd be difficult to prove that, or require a lot of research. But the point is that you need a seat at the table.
But an example of that is Washington. I was watching the signing ceremony, and an openly gay state senator and an openly gay state representative were the two who were speaking, and they were the two who carried the marriage bill in their Senate.
Absolutely.
And House, in their legislature.
Absolutely.
Yeah. New Jersey, also the same thing's going on, and actually in Delaware, same thing's going on, that they have openly gay representatives.
In Oklahoma. So we can expect a marriage in Oklahoma here shortly, right?
No, I don't think so. I think about all Al is going to be able to do is maybe head off some of the... And this is another thing that is valuable, to head off some of the anti-gay legislation that's likely or more likely to come out of a state like Oklahoma.
Right.
And that's what... when we did have an openly gay representative, that is something that he was good at doing, was heading off the bad legislation.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to vote for those bills when the guy sitting next to you is, you know, going to be affected personally.
And gives you...
Or gal.
And gives you the actual, here's how it's affecting my life today. So what do we expect from our allies? I want to get back to that. And what should somebody who is gay or lesbian do to and talk to their family members and other people who claim to be allies? What do we expect from them? Should we expect everything, or is it okay to expect just a certain amount from them?
Well, I mean, I think we should certainly expect their support for equal rights, which would be their full support for equal rights, mm-hmm. which includes marriage and everything else. And we get so focused on marriage, and we've talked about marriage extensively in the show, but there's so many other areas.
And the only reason that we're focusing on marriage was three different states are working on it this week and are at different stages.
Right.
But... there are other rights.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly personally feel like we should demand that they support us fully. And that should be our expectation. That should be our demand. And however, you know, we're certainly not going to, you know, turn away somebody's support for a particular piece of legislation. I mean, that would be foolish.
If they support employment non-discrimination,
right,
get them going on that,
is why Obama. I mean, although he is not yet evolved on marriage, is being asked to sign a executive order that would prohibit anti-LGBT discrimination among federal contractors above a certain amount, because that's something he can do without congressional approval. He can do that on his own, and that's, you know, the sort of what the LGBT establishment in Washington is essentially asking of the Obama administration, you know, right now, before the election, here's something you can do. You don't need the votes in Congress to do
this. Okay, so that would protect who?
That would require contractors to have policies that prohibit anti... You know, interestingly enough, Dallas has an ordinance that does the very same thing in the city of Dallas. Contractors over a certain amount, who get city contracts over a certain amount, are required to have policies that prohibit anti-gay, anti-LGBT discrimination. So it would do the same thing on a federal level, and I don't remember what the exact amount is, but major contractors, for example, Halliburton, you know, big defense contractors, would be required to not discriminate.
Against
their LGBT employees. Exxon, if they have a contract that big. So the theory is that it would have...
And they probably do, to fuel Navy ships and Army tanks, and of course they have contracts.
So, right.
Yeah.
Well, you would think so.
Yeah.
So
what are the chances that you're hearing that something like that will be signed before the election?
Heard that it's already been drafted and that the administration is already reviewing it. Would certainly expect them to. I think Obama's going to need the LGBT vote, and the nominee is more than likely going to be Romney, despite Santorum's little surge.
Actually, Santorum right now in polls nationally, he's pulled even with Romney, and in Michigan, which is Romney's home state, Santorum, in a poll that I just read this morning, Santorum pulled ahead in Michigan. When is the Michigan primary? February 28th?
It's coming up. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because that's the one Fred Karger is.
Fred Karger is in that one. Fred is the openly gay candidate who nobody will let into any of the debates, even though he's the only additional candidate still standing that you've never heard of.
Right.
And
he's like the only candidate who hasn't led the national polls at one point or another. I mean, they've all risen to the top and then faded away. And I think the same thing will happen with Santorum. But
we only have another minute. You've been also watching the Republican race for the Senate in Texas. Just real briefly, any comments from any of the campaigns that you've heard that might give us a clue as to which one?
I can tell you the funniest one I've heard yet, and this is something we touched on right before the show, which is that Tom Leppert, of course, the former Dallas mayor, was attacked during a forum by Ted Cruz's, like the Tea Party darling candidate, former Solicitor General, was attacked. Leppert was attacked by Cruz for appearing at Gay Pride in Dallas. And Leppert's response to that attack was, I was reaching out to all communities because that's what Jesus would have done. So Leppert played the Jesus card against the gay rights against being attacked for being gay friendly. That's a new one. I think that
might be
the man is a genius.
That might be a new one.
Because the Jesus card trumps everything, right?
It certainly does. Thank you for being with us here today, John. We will be back next week. Our guest is Ken Lambrecht from Planned Parenthood. And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week at 7 a.m.